Hearn.
It shouldn't be that Lady Hearn.
Even though she's cute.
She is.
She's more than cute. She's like all right, well, actually, we'll save it for the discussion of the actual episode, but yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
You got a lot of thoughts about Sherry?
Oh, Sherry Darling. That's a Bruce Springsteen song, which she loves also... We'll get to it. Gosh, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're the Gilmore Guys. The Gilmore Guys?
I'm reading off the teleprompter.
That's true. What people don't know about the podcast process is that even though it's not a visual medium, we still have a teleprompter attached to a camera that we read off of.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We need to address this, because on Twitter, gosh, we really screwed ourselves over
by repeatedly having to break character. We have a joke in which
we have claimed
that celebrities are going to be on the show, and like, it's a big joke. But
Adnan, Tom Hanks, Alexis Bledel, Tom Cruise, we promised in the last episode.
Right.
So here's what actually happened: is we got in touch with Sam Phillips,
and this is real. This is not no bid zone.
We got in touch with Sam Phillips. Like a month and a half ago, set this date up for today. We're recording on
January 18th,
2015 AD. And we said, she was like, oh yeah, I'd love to do the show. I'm going to bring Helen too, who also worked on the show. And we were like, awesome. That's going to be so fun. And I got a call yesterday from their people essentially saying, Sam's sick. We thought she was going to be, which I totally, like, there's nothing weird about it, because, like, Sam retweeted us when we announced on Twitter, and they were like, we thought she'd be better by today, but she's not, so we're going to have to reschedule, which is a big bummer, because the first thought we both had was, like, shit, people are going to think this is a bit.
It's not.
It's not a bit, and when we say they are coming on the show, they are coming on the show.
Right. If we mention... Okay, from now on, if we mention someone that is in the show coming on the show, it's real.
Yeah, we're not going to do bits
with people who have been in the show anymore, because it's very confusing.
Because guess what? I think we're going to get a good amount of them on, at least for the people we've started to line up and confirm without giving anything away. So, yeah, today was going to be like just a special interview episode with Sam and Helen, but we're not going to do that when we're instead going to cover... Episode 214.
It should have been Lorelai.
It should have been Lorelai. I thought you said the enchantment of Lorelai for some reason.
This is the enchantment under the sea.
Sea dance of Lorelai.
All right.
But do look forward to that in the future, because Sam and Helen will be on very soon.
Yeah.
Not a bit. And I don't think we're going to announce it before they are, though, just in case.
Yeah, just...
Because it is classic Boy Who Cried Wolf right now, which is unfortunate. But
to get back into... character.
Yes.
Tom Cruise canceled also.
Oh, because he was jumping out of his blimp.
Jumping out of his blimp.
Oh, dang.
His Blaine.
Well, who did we confirm for next week?
Next week, Adnan's coming back, finally. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke, guys.
That was a joke. That was silly.
Adnan's not coming on the show. However, our friend Bruce Springsteen said he's going to try and make it out.
Hey.
But there he is.
Hey, I heard you guys talk about me.
Yeah, we do. We love you, Bruce.
2, 3, 4.
Why are you...
Sorry, I was just counting the parking spots in that parking lot over there.
There's way more than 4. There's like 70.
5, 6, 7.
Okay, you can... Bruce, it's fine. We'll see you next week.
Okay, can't wait to be on the show, man.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye. Thank you. I appreciate manners.
That's kind of that Heartland wisdom of his. He appreciates manners.
Were you so starstruck to see Bruce that you didn't say anything?
That's why I didn't talk, because I was like, oh my gosh. Because it's like when you meet your heroes...
I totally, right. How like when Tom Cruise and I first got to be friends.
Do you remember what happened?
I was walking in the street and I saw a man running into traffic repeatedly. Just kept getting hit by cars. And I said, "Are you okay?" And every time he's like, "Nah, yeah, yeah, I love this." Every Sunday. And
every Sunday.
Yeah.
Specifically a day.
Yeah, it's weird. I think he takes breaks from whatever he's filming to do that. But so I helped him up. He's like, "What's your name?" I was like, "My name's Demi." He's like, "I'm Tom." He's like, "No, I know. You're Tom Cruise. Everyone's staring at you. Are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm great. I'm great. I live for this.
I love movies.
I love movies.
I love the cinema. I'm not a weirdo who believes a weird, weird religion."
Glib.
The episode in question today, episode 214. Wait, who did... Oh, yeah, we got Bruce Springsteen for this week.
Yeah, Bruce is coming on next week.
Yeah. 214, it should have been Lorelai. Which, in itself, we give Netflix synopses kind of spoilers. Like, we give them shit for being spoilers, but that's kind of a spoiler, too.
It should have been... I mean, yeah, although it's only really a spoiler for, like, the last... I mean, I guess that's what a spoiler is. But it's, like, it's not even dealt with until... Like, if she hadn't said that, I would have been like, I don't know.
True.
What the, yeah.
I get you. So, let's start this this discussion. Sorry, I just ate a cookie. Now I need to take a drink of water. I'm keeping this in. Ooh, love those sound effects. With a little segment we call Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
in which we take every pop culture reference in the episode. There were quite a few.
There were a lot.
In this one.
Yeah, I tried to take note of some, but I did not hit them all.
Well, hopefully I hit the ones that you didn't. Like a good frat bro. Anyway, let's not read too much into that.
That was very sharp, but also awful.
This is 214. Pop Goes to Culture, it should have been Lorelai.
Not two fat ladies again.
I hear you're the greatest chef after Alain Ducasse.
After Alain Ducasse. Talking to Amazon.com.
The Gilmore Family Players rival the Barrymores for their sophisticated dramatic productions.
There's a new Belle and Sebastian single coming out today.
Hey, watch it.
Yeah, Duck Harvey.
Whack you with a cannoli. Oh, because he left the gun and took the cannoli.
You should get a show on the Home and Garden channel, Mom.
Kevorkian called today for a couple of tips.
Martha Stewart?
A paraphrase Proust.
My mom's done everything but slap a Dr. Dre ankle bracelet on me.
Yeah, you, me, Martin Sheen, all chained to the same tree.
Oh, that's okay. I'll have one of my patented White Castle bachelor dinners.
I pictured you marrying Matthew Broderick. And we lived in New York in this great apartment in the Village, and we would talk about his Ferris Bueller days.
Just think how easy producer's tickets would be to get. It's also excellent for cranking Metallica.
Cranking Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
If that's some sort of drug reference, it isn't funny.
But I also pictured you with Pee Wee Herman.
Wow.
Yeah, we lived in his playhouse, and we'd be talking to Cherry, and Captain Carl would be walking by.
Let's not harbor any Pinterest fantasies here, Rory.
But I have taken to jumping into the gigantic pile of dirty clothes while we play our Reader's Digest World's Famous Polka CD.
I feel like I'm on the Ricky Lake show.
My question is, how did that happen? How was it that suddenly everyone in the world was saying music has charms to soothe the savage beast when it was written for us?
I don't know. At some point, someone misspoke.
She's a chic, good-haired, wrinkle-free, no-hose-wearing witch.
What are we robbing?
Sephora. This whole morning has been a little Twilight Zone-y.
Or Outer Limits-y.
What?
Great show, just as eerie, same era, but no one ever references it.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak geek.
What did she think? Yeah, you were going to come home and find a rabbit boiling on the stove? Invite him to Luke's?
Deep cut. She seemed like a diner chick to you?
I talk normally.
For the average Willie Nelson roadie, yes, but not for a winning debate team member.
What's her music taste?
Big Bruce Springsteen fan. Seen him like 20 times.
Yeah.
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 So let's talk about that.
Oh, wait. Was it even done?
It was done.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we're done.
Let's talk about that.
So.
Are you in love with Sherry?
No. I don't hate her.
Right. I don't either.
I want to address a few things in the pop culture supercut that were a little, that I had to dig a little bit for. Lorelai says, "Does she seem like a diner chick to you?" Do you get that reference? It's very inside baseball.
Is it a reference to the movie Diner?
No.
Oh.
It's Twin Peaks, though. Because Machen Amick, who plays Sherry in this episode and future episodes, played, oh my gosh, played the diner chick on Twin Peaks.
Oh, the waitress?
The waitress in the diner.
Oh.
Whose name I'm totally forgetting. But yeah, that seemed to be like a little in-joke to that.
Yeah.
Right? Does she seem like a diner chick to you?
It has to be if it's
right. It seemed too Shelly, that's her name. Shelly, the waitress at the diner.
Shelly and Sherry.
Maybe. I mean, although I'm wondering if there is a Twin Peaks reference later in the show. I can't think of one.
There's got to be. I just imagine like Twin Peaks as a thing is not something the Paladinos would skip up to drop reference to. Like Damn Good Coffee, that's an easy one to make every other episode if they wanted
they
to.
They kind of do in a way, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
Then the Duck Harvey one was a little bit weird for me. But then I figured out it was Harvey, the Jimmy Stewart movie.
Oh.
The Big Bunny.
Is that the one where it's cooking rabbit on stove too? Or is that totally
That's
separate?
Fatal Attraction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's apparently...
For some reason I thought Mice of Men, but I was like, oh.
No, well, spoilers for those who haven't seen Fatal Attraction. One of the climactic scenes in the movie is Michael Douglas comes home to Glenn Close cooking a rabbit on a stove. Like his children's rabbit, I think. I haven't seen the movie because I'm a gentleman. but apparently that's what happens in it. And then...
That's some heavy shit.
That's some... Yeah. That's gnarly. And then there was the one line that was like, she's a crinkle-nosed, no-hose, coast-coast witch. Which...
Is that Bewitched?
Yeah.
Yeah, crinkle-nosed.
Yeah. Well, the original line in Bewitched was crinkle-nosed, but the one they used in this one was different. It was like a parody of it. Anyway, that was pretty deep for me. Like, the cut. Not the... The meaning of it.
Was the marrying Matthew Broderick thing a Sarah Jessica Parker reference, or is that just like, I think they even married at that point? Who knows?
I think they were married at that point. Hmm. So I guess Lorelai was like cool with adultery in that scenario.
She wanted to break them up. She hated Sex and the City. She thought it was trite.
Which we'll get to Lorelai's thoughts on adultery later in the
Will
show.
Will we?
Mm-hmm.
This show's going deep.
Yep. So let's talk about Sherry liking Bruce Springsteen.
Let's. This is the segment we call Bruce Was Mentioned in the Show.
That's me.
Yeah.
So he came back for a little bit. He's just that kind of guy.
He's just sitting in the parking lot.
Yeah, I'm taking tickets.
No one's. Okay.
I'm a working man, even though I'm a billionaire.
You know, that's what I appreciate about him. I'm not even going to tell him that no one's coming. It's just us.
My daddy worked in the factory.
We'll see you, Bruce.
Yeah, bye, Bruce.
Sorry. That was, I just feel like that was a little intrusive. He's coming on next week, so we can just wait. But that, to me, that was kind of a crystallization, because I don't hate Sherry. I actually do like her. Do you like her?
Here's the thing. I don't think that... I think she's being portrayed as a villain. I think she's very weirdly, like, trying to curry Rory's favor, and that makes me uncomfortable, but I don't think she's as bad as, like... as everyone else is trying to make her out to be.
Well, do you think they're trying to portray her as a villain?
I kind of feels like they are. Like the
writers of the show want us to see, this is Sherry, she's a nightmare, she's high maintenance, blah blah blah.
I don't think that's what is happening, but I feel like Lorelai is somehow trying to like posture like Sherry is like the bad one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But
Between the two of them, I'm sure, yeah.
I don't think she's, I don't know, something about her is not, like, I think the writers want us to like her, but I don't very much. Mm-hmm. I don't hate her, but I don't like her either.
First of all, she is very beautiful.
She is.
Not to be objectifying, which is a great way.
Objectify away.
Which is a great way for any guy to start a sentence.
Yeah, it's.
But do you ever.
Not to be racist of women.
Exactly. But, and women can relate to this with men, too, like. I don't know, Ryan Gosling or Benedict Cumberbatch. But there are certain people in the world that are just so pretty that it's distracting. That's literally like, at least for me, like they're so pretty that whatever they're doing, regardless of like how good of an actor they are or not, like you almost can't concentrate it because you just keep looking at them.
You just got to close your eyes or like let the sun hit the glare of the screen just right so you don't see their face.
Yeah, that's right. I went through that on Happy Endings.
Really?
Alicia Cuthbert.
Oh,
is so beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
She's like literally a model, and she's so funny on the show. And she was great on the show. RIP Happy Endings. That was such a good show.
Rip.
Rip, rip. Hooray. Or boo hey. Sorry.
Keep talking.
and there were certain times on the show where I was taken out of it because of how pretty she was.
Really?
And I felt that way watching this episode. Sometimes with Sherry, where she's just like so... Yeah, I don't know how to describe it other than that. Just so beautiful, it's distracting.
To me, she reminded me of Elizabeth Hurley a lot. Mostly in the way that she dressed, though. If we want to get into the fashion report real quick.
Let's do it. Fashion.
One of these days, I'll stop stumbling over the fuzz. Sherry, for the most of the show, is wearing like these sort of like high heel boots, and I don't even know what to call the dress, but it's like...
The dress did have a zipper in the middle?
Yeah, it had a zipper in the middle.
Or at least a stripe if it wasn't a zipper.
I thought it was a zipper. It was like sleeveless. I don't know, it looked cool. It reminded me of Elizabeth Hurley in Austin Powers.
Yeah, it looked like real sleek.
Yeah.
Or fleek, is that what kids say? What is fleek, by the way? What is on fleek?
Well, Kevin, fleek, just being on fleek is just like, it looks good. It's I've heard it used to describe eyebrows, and then it just took off from there.
From that one conversation you had about eyebrows?
No, there's like a popular Vine of this girl going like, it's Saturday night, something, something, eyebrows on fleek, and that's how it, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All questions answered.
This is Demi Explain Slang to Kevin.
Well, that's kind of OMFG, which you're going to be on pretty soon, right?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know when that episode's getting released, but yeah, I did it.
Or if it ever will. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it was
might be
so bad.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Christopher's pants are bad.
Christopher's pants are bad. Jess's pants are bad.
And Suki's pink sleeves are back.
I was about to say, we've talked about them before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, why does she keep wearing
them? The feathery, like, go-go.
Yeah.
I feel like she attaches them to, like, I know it's the same coat and whatnot, but it feels like they should come off and just be, like, the kind of thing she can wear on her own.
You think realistically that would be that? Like, you're saying they seem like
that's
that.
That's what I see when I think
okay,
of that.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, it's weird. I don't know. I just, in my mind, it's like she can wear the jacket without them, but she chooses to add. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, she's like making the choice every day.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then the other thing, I know that I like Sherry's dress too, but the other thing was Christopher's hair in this episode was kind of all over the place for me.
Was it?
Yeah, a little bit. Like it was too long, but it wasn't kempt enough. I don't know. Maybe that was like a 2001, 2002 thing, but. I wasn't digging it.
All the
so
guys
much.
In this show, their hair sort of goes one way or it's covered. Like, that's how it is. Unless it's like Luke covers it up with a baseball cap and everyone else is just kind of like.
All over the place.
All over the place.
Except for Taylor. Taylor's hair.
Taylor Dozy has got it. He's got it down.
All right. Well, I guess that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
That was a good fashion report.
That was.
You know, instead of going through it chronologically, kind of how we never do. Oh, you know what? Well, let's hit the Bruce Springsteen thing again. It really did crystallize a lot of things about the character for me because I, you know, listeners of the show know that I am a
big fan.
He's a
Bruce head.
I'm a Brucey.
Thanks, man.
Like, how can you hear us out the God.
I got hearing like the snakes in the promised land.
I guess that, okay.
That's poetry.
That's poetry. Write that down.
2, 3, 4. Sorry, I'm just counting again.
So, to me, I really identify with that growing up, which is another Bruce Springsteen song.
Growing up?
Growing up.
All right, I want you to talk entirely in Bruce Springsteen lyrics.
Okay. So, I'm on fire. And it's like, I'm born to run, but I'm also born in the USA. Because there's these streets of fire, something in the night. This is quickly falling apart.
Yeah, the premise of this whole thing is on a rocky ground.
Oh, boy.
The song I know.
Boom. See, this is why people want Talking Bruce, Bruce Boys, with you and me.
Oh, man.
People have requested it.
They are, even
people
though I know
are
nothing.
Me with fake Twitter accounts. you and Demi should do.
Oh, I'm Pevin Quarter.
Pevin Quarter. In retrospect, I should have changed the name. But in college with Bruce, I really identified with that a lot. And to a degree, I identified with the crowd, too. Like, I would go to the shows, and I would, like, get on the message boards and talk to people. And I met people in that community through that. And a lot of them, like, I still keep in touch with, and I see at shows.
That's cool.
Which is really cool. But I went through a funny thing a couple years ago. The last time I saw him in California, I saw him in Anaheim. With Rob Lowe. I think I told that story before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the show, I just identify with the crowd so much less. And it became less of a religious experience with all these like cool people, and it became looking at a sea, and there was always this to a degree, but it just a sea of middle-aged white people who kind of know why they're there, but maybe not. Like, and it's the thing with American audiences too. But I could see Sherry at a Bruce Springsteen concert,
right?
Where she's like, and I feel like that's exactly the kind of music she's into, like normal people music. Like, she's not cranking St. Vincent up, you know,
right,
at 1 a.m. St. Vincent, who's wonderful.
Love her.
Love her. But I don't think Sherry would be into St. Vincent. She's
especially
a Bruce Springsteen girl.
She wasn't making music at the time the show was airing.
True.
That's one reason.
Boy.
No, but yeah, I know what you mean. She's not into like avant-garde art rock. She's very much like, yeah, this is a, yeah,
Journey. Very Manilow.
I think when they said Bruce Springsteen, they were posturing her as that sort of thing, because mm-hmm. they also make mention of like Belle and Sebastian and mm-hmm. like all these bands that Lane and Jess are into, and it's mm-hmm. kind of, it's just them saying she's just a regular woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit plain. Yeah. But, you know, I can defend liking Bruce better when we launch our podcast.
Bruce Boys.
Bruce Boys, coming to you to an iPod near you in 2016. Damn it.
Whenever we finish this thing.
This thing that is our lives now.
It's our lives.
It's consumed my life.
My life. So starting from the beginning of this episode.
Well, I actually wanted to.
All right. No, never mind.
Well, let me run this by
you. We starting from the end?
Well, we started at the bottom. Now we're here. But I was thinking we could use Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&As.
Classic song.
Yeah.
To get into our discussion.
Let's do it.
Like, have that be the launch point. Just as something different. And if it doesn't work out, then we won't release this episode.
Oh, that's crazy. I love the Gilmore Guys, but they skipped an episode.
There was one episode that never came out. Yeah. They never said why. So Twitter Q&A, at Tallulah writes, do you think Emily Richards' love of Christopher is weird, considering he knocked up their 16-year-old daughter? Now, I don't think Richard showed a lot of love for... He didn't show hostility, but he didn't show love for Christopher in this
episode. Richard was super chill.
Yeah.
Which is weird, considering what we just went through with him. But, yeah, he seemed just pretty, like, I don't know exactly what he said, but when he was holding up a drink at the end, he's just like... He almost seemed like he was about to be like, hey, man, everything's groovy, and just, like, take a sip of a martini or whatever.
He did say, well, that's just Emily being Emily.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think their love of Christopher makes sense, because they still, like... In terms of the world, they still see Christopher as more successful, and he was that way mm-hmm. when he was a kid, and he's still that way. So I get it. I think it's weird that they are still just kind of like that they say, oh, Lorelai, ruin your fucking life. Or like, Lorelai, you ruin your life. Christopher, you ruin Lorelai's life. Like, you're still good, though. That's so weird to me that they don't think of him in that regard as mm-hmm. ruining their daughter's life, which... They shouldn't think of either of them having ruined their lives, but it's weird that if they chose one of them, it's like Lorelai, not Chris.
I think that because he was willing to bend to their will and to their plan so easily at the beginning, like, yeah, I'll get married to her. Yeah, right. Whatever. Yeah. You know, whatever it takes. And Lorelai was so stubborn and hard-headed in that regard that they always regard him with less of a grudge because right. of that. Like she says in the episode, he was willing to follow the plan. You weren't, blah, 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 da-da-da. So after looking at these Twitter Q&As, I've decided we're not going to launch the conversation using that. Let's just go kind of chronologically.
Okay. Wait, why?
Well, because the next one was literally about the end. I just feel like there's a lot of whiplash to that. So we'll just address some of them at the end.
All right.
In the teaser.
And they walk into Luke's and it's empty?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the only thing I could think about that was Luke's is sometimes full. But it's never, like, not... Like, I feel like they walk in there and it's pretty low-key a lot.
Yeah. It's never jam-packed unless right. they say, wow, it's jam-packed today.
Yeah, exactly. So it's weird that they were like, wow, empty. Because in my head, it's usually empty.
Pretty par for the course. Right. And then Lorelai has that line when Luke's like, our limits were so much better than...
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, than Twilight
Zone. It was very real to Luke, even though I can't see him watching TV much.
Well, he was a Trekkie. Remember that?
Yeah, that's
so there's
true.
Kind of a weird sci-fi lumberjack.
He's got
hippie.
Yeah,
he's got layers, man.
It's so weird that he is a hippie because he runs a diner where he makes like greasy food, and also like we never see him eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to go on. They're just like, he's a hippie. Believe us, you know.
You never see him eat, you mean?
Well, I mean, rarely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen it so far, I think.
In the very first scene of the first act, they're watching two fat ladies.
Yeah.
I thought this conversation was kind of weird. They just said the word fat too much.
Well, I mean,
for my taste.
The show is two fat ladies, and then right. Rory calls her out on it by saying, like, what is she? She's like, oh, that seemed
unnecessary.
Yeah.
Or rude or something. Yeah.
Which was, I think, them acknowledging that it's mm-hmm. weird for the show to be called Two Fat Ladies and also for them to talk about them being fat ladies.
Okay.
But
so you think it actually was more self-reflexive than that?
I think so.
Then Chris and Laurel are on the phone, and this is something we need to address because we talked in the Ben Seaman episode, like, Lorelai doesn't have a nickname ever. Like, yeah. Why doesn't Lorelai have a nickname? And she does kind of. A lot of people point this out. And you see this more as the show goes on, and you see Christopher use it more, but he does call her Lore.
He does?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he called her Lore in this conversation. So he does kind of have a nickname for her. But it's only him specific. No one else. No one else on the show calls her Lore.
It would be weird if people did, I think. I think Lore is a... It's not a bad nickname, but it's... Lorelai just seems like a mouthful, and Lore just seems like, oh, that's not her, that's someone else.
Lore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very monosyllabic.
Like, if someone was like Lori, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, blah, 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 some stuff happens.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's do the ratings.
Okay, I give it 9 out of... Okay. Hey, guess who we got to see come back in this episode?
Who?
Brad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. I love Brad so much.
Yeah.
His nervousness about Paris is so funny. When Rory says hello to him, I was like, oh, Brad's back. Good for him. He's going to do fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paris walks across the stage, and he turns into a cartoon.
He pees himself. Yeah.
He does.
He slams himself against a locker in that one scene.
Did he slam himself, or did Paris push him?
It seems like she did, but he did not.
Right.
She did not. Like,
that's so funny.
He, to get out of the way, slammed himself up against the locker.
I laughed so hard when they're doing the coin toss, and he's like, no, tails.
Tails.
He looks at her like she was going, like, what a stupid move of you to pick heads.
Well, she was, kind of.
I know, but, like, in what world does Paris, like, know the outcome and go, like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm. that's kind of a good Paris.
Are you serious?
I got it more visually, though. People listening to the podcast may not get as much as I am. Right
yeah.
Now. Yeah. Oh, Paris is in the room.
I'm doing the
oh
face.
Oh, my gosh. Christopher shows up to the debate.
With Sherry. Which starts off the whole shebang.
And the way they stage it, he shows up in the door frame, and then he motions to someone off screen.
Yeah, like they were just, like she was just like walking a few feet
behind
him.
Like, was she tying her shoe? Like, I don't understand what the delay was there.
But what was weird about that scene also was how, like, belabored they were trying to get a peek of Sherry. Like, they weren't going to just see her afterwards.
Yeah, that became real cartoony.
Yeah. Because
clearly they were going to talk to her.
Exactly.
So, was it a dick move on Christopher's part to not say Sherry was coming? I don't believe that he thinks that he mentioned her.
I don't either. And
oh, surely I must have mentioned her. No, no, you didn't.
I think he didn't want it to be weird, but I don't think it's a dick move for him to bring her. I wonder if it's a dick move for him to, like, sort of purposefully be, like, not mentioning that. Because I'm thinking he didn't want Lorelai to be like, oh, Sherry's coming. Oh, I got to change some stuff or something, you know? He just wanted to be, mm-hmm. like, casually, like, oh, yeah, the girl I'm dating is coming. But...
So maybe he was more insensitive.
Insensitive?
Well, yeah, I think so. Just to not be... Because imagine, like, in the last conversation he had with Lorelai, in Stars Hollow was like, oh, there's someone else.
Right.
There's Sherry. Her name's Sherry. And so it's Sherry. So you think his sensitivity would be attuned to, like, oh, yeah, this is the obstacle in the way of you getting back together with this woman who... things about you a lot, which we'll get to. But I just know if it was me, like, just err on the side of caution. Be like, hey, is it cool if this person comes? Even when, like, we hang out as friends and you're like, you know, someone that's not in your regular friend group goes.
You don't go.
You say, hey, is it okay if, you know, Nicole comes tonight?
Right.
And then it's like, yeah, it's totally fine. I hope my friend Nicole doesn't listen to this.
Nicole, we hate you. Don't come on the show.
She'll never listen to this. It's fine. But friends,
this is the one she's going to listen to.
I know. She was like, I finally checked out your podcast and have some thoughts. But it just seemed weird to me that he would have that mental blind spot for that. But, you know, Christopher, I feel like he is spotty in terms of his responsibility. Because I think the narrative is supposed to have been he traded his motorcycle in for a Volvo, or a Volvo, as Emily calls it later. One of my favorite moments in this episode. And he's got his life together, and he's working in business.
Yeah, he's
sweet, sweet business.
Yeah, making those business dollars.
Those business bucks, baby.
Business bucks, baby.
But at the same time, there's still things that he does where it's like, you're still very emotionally immature. Like, you're doing the stuff that would appear that way. Like, you got the car, and you're in a stable relationship, and you have this kind of job. But emotionally, like, the way you're treating people, especially when it comes to Lorelai, is not mature.
Right.
And it is insensitive. Like, stringing her along during the debutante ball week when it's like, oh, she was probably, especially at the end, they had crazy chemistry and they were developing feelings for each other again. And then he's just like, oh, I have a girlfriend, JK. And the same thing with this. And it doesn't seem like he is maturing in the way Richard and Emily would measure maturity.
Right.
But not, I think, in a truly authentic, emotionally mature way.
Christopher seems to be in town a lot for someone who's not been in the town for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, previous to the show, it was a big deal the first time he shows up, because they're like, you in Stars Hollow? But you've never been to Stars Hollow.
Well, and that's what I thought was weird, that him and Suki had never met.
Yeah, yeah.
That I thought was crazy.
Right.
How could they have not met? Anyway,
But it's just, I don't know, that's the first thing I thought of when he shows up. I was like, wait, this is like the fourth episode you've been in town for. How is this? You've been here, like, I want to say it's been a year that has passed since you first showed up in Stars Hollow at this point. It was 116, right?
Mm-hmm. 115 or 16.
Yeah. So it's about a year, and he's been there back like four times. For someone who didn't show up ever like previously, yeah. This is so weird.
Has it been four times since that episode?
It was that time. It was the time he came back to buy Rory that book and some other stuff happened. I'm just trying to piece together. It's at least three times.
Okay.
Because he the first time he shows up, this time, and then there's definitely at least one time in the middle.
Okay.
But it's just, for someone who's never in town, it's crazy that we get so many episodes of him being in town for
just
business.
Just popping in, yeah.
It's always for business, too. Like, what, his new job just happens to be dealing with Stars
Hollow. Which, by the way, the exterior shot of him on the phone with Lorelai, he was in Stars Hollow.
Yeah, he was
like,
around the corner.
This set was right around the corner from Luke's.
I want to get an episode later where we realize that Christopher has been stalking them, and he's just always around
the
corner.
He never got a new job. His new job is stalking.
Yeah, and he sells drugs to buy books for his daughter.
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool anti-hero thing.
I hear that you have a lot of books. I want to see the books. I'd love to see the books. Why the fuck does she want to see Rory's book so much? And why did I sound so angry about
you
that?
You were
just
mad.
Now?
Oh my gosh.
That was a weird phrasing that. Why the fuck does she? No. Why? I'm so confused as to why she. Like, I know that she's trying to curry Rory's favor a lot, and she's sort of just like,
I think that's it. It's just like,
it's
when.
Like thing about Sherry that I'm not on board with, about how over the top she is about her wanting to get Rory on her side.
Well, I think she's just awkward. I really do.
I think so.
Like, even when Rory describes her, the description of her isn't like a bad lady.
Right.
It's like, oh, she's a professional woman. She has these things she cares about and things she likes. And she's like this and she's like that. But nothing that's like weird or sinister. And so I see that stuff, because that was one of the Twitter Q&As. Catherine at Has Awesomes, which is spelled with two Z's. Do you think Sherry was a little, quote-unquote, single white female in this episode? She always comes off as creepy. And I don't think it's creepy, because I think her intentions are good, actually. I don't think she's like when she says to Lorelai, we don't need to be close. I think she has good intentions in saying that.
I think so, too, but it did come off as creepy and, like, weirdly.
It was, like autistic almost, yeah.
It came off as, like, mother in the parent trap-y to me. The way that she said, when she was like, we don't need to be close. We don't even need to ever see each other. It was like, oh, are you trying to be like I'm the girl now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like that for
me. I am the captain now.
I'm the captain now. Yeah, the parent trap Phillips. But
with blonde blanks.
But it really felt that way until she kept talking, was just saying, like, I just really want Rory to like me. And then I got it, but it was just weird delivery at the beginning. And then her saying things like, when she was like, oh, is that your parents' house? I really want to see it, especially the picture of Rory in the foyer. I was just like, oh, calm down.
I think, too, it's just when, just like when you meet new people or they're like mutual, they're a friend of your friends and you remember some detail.
Yeah.
You latch on to that detail and you're right. Like, oh, yeah, I heard you like, you know, that movie Soul Plane. Let's talk about Soul Plane. Like,
yo, shut up about Soul Plane so much.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a way to do it appropriately. And she kind of ran into the ground. I would concur.
I hope, obviously no spoilers, but I hope she, in future episodes, is more balanced in her personality and not just like, I need to be Rory's parent.
Rory, 011, Target.
Rory.
Yeah, she was weird, at least in that sense. But again, I do believe her heart is good because there's a lot of people shitting on her on Facebook and Twitter. Like Mania Hanafi. Manaya Hafi, whatever her name is.
Mania Hafi.
She wrote in and said, is there any world where Sherry's behavior would have seemed appropriate?
Stepford. If they were Stepford wives.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the world. And then Mania says, sorry, Mania, whatever your name is. Sorry. And
send us a correction on Twitter of how to pronounce your name. We are very sorry.
And or do you think the parallel Christopher drew was fair? That she didn't tell Chris that she was getting married, so she shouldn't be mad about this. I don't think it's ever fair to be like, well, you did this, means it's okay that I did this.
That's never fair. You should always, if someone like did something that you're like, that sucks, you shouldn't turn around and be like, well, now I can do this at least once.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm weird about that Christopher Lorelai argument at the end, because on one hand, I feel like Lorelai's intentions were not what Christopher thought they were.
Well, oh, she's not talking about that argument. Oh, okay. She's talking about the one where they're at the house and they're about to go to the dinner.
Oh, right.
Remember that? And she was like, oh, you know. And that's when Christopher was like, oh, surely I must have mentioned it. Oh, I guess I didn't. And he was being a dummy about it.
Here's the thing. I don't think Christopher is in the right for saying, like, well, you didn't do this. But I also don't think that what he did is as extreme as Lorelai not saying, oh, yeah, I'm getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just didn't tell her that she was coming. Like, it's not the same thing at all.
Right. It's very, it's a weird comparison. But anyway, just a tip to the kids out there. Whenever you're arguing with a loved one, don't compare your faults.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's just asking for... They're not going to be like,
trouble.
Yeah, you're right. I fucked up that one time. This is okay.
You've hall pass. You got it.
Hall pass. Owen Wilson. Jenna Fisher in Theater Snap.
And you know, okay, so also that scene where Sherry's like, you know, we don't have to become close friends, blah, 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 da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I want to hang out with Rory and have like a girl date with her. And, you know, Christopher said you can get her out if it's an emergency, Friday night dinners, blah, blah, blah. And then Lorelai calls the house. Someone pointed this out to me on Twitter. I'm so sorry. I don't have your name here. But, oh, actually, I do. Yes. @JenniferLentz called this on Twitter. May have been a while since I've had a landline, but can you call your own phone from your own phone?
I thought about that when it happened. I was just like, how is she doing this?
Yeah.
You can, I feel like with some phones, I know this in my house, my parents did it all the time. You can page another phone that is like on the same line.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, I feel like it would show up as like, oh, that's a call from inside the house. Or like, oh, it would be a different sound. I don't know. I feel like it works. It's weird that they didn't like sort of be like, oh, but like they didn't say like one line about how it's working,
because
it's definitely not a normal thing. Like, but
maybe they just assumed it, and the technology was so cutting edge at the time that they're like, kids are gonna get this.
2000s, everyone knew that shit was happening.
But I do think that because Lorelai pretends to be Leonard on the phone, and she says, oh, it's Leonard. And when Sherry and Christopher leave, he says,
bye, sweetie.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Leonard.
And I think that sums up the appeal of Christopher so much.
That he sees through their shit?
He sees through their shit, and he's also amused by it.
Yeah.
And he also gets them.
Right.
You know, all at the same time. Bye, Leonard. Because, like, and the way David Sutcliffe delivered that was great.
Yeah.
I really like him in this part.
I do too. I like Christopher.
Yeah. Because at first I think you had hesitations about, like, is he a good actor? Is he not a good actor?
I had the hesitation. I came to the conclusion that I think he is. I like him. I like David Sutcliffe. I like Christopher. I like Christopher in his relation to the girls also. Because a lot of the times... Oh, wait. I was thinking of Max just now. But a lot of times when he comes to town, it's the kind of thing where he's like, yeah, no, I remember how you guys are. And he's sort of like breaking down what we are seeing from a sense of like the Bi Leonard thing. That's him going like, oh, come on. That wasn't that clever. I got what you were doing.
Yeah.
And when he's trying to be like, oh, you both know Leonard, huh? That was him going like, guys, come on. Mm-hmm. But also not trying to play along and leaving Sherry out of it, you know, which was cool. I like that sort of playfulness to him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I'm pro Christopher, but I'm not pro them together, weirdly enough.
You're not pro Lorelai and Christopher? You're pro Luke and Lorelai.
Here's the thing. I don't think that Lorelai deserves Christopher.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a weird thing to say.
Let's break it down.
And it's not that I think that Christopher is better or whatever. I think it's that Christopher is clearly not, like, he's not interested, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing of the only reason they would be together is because Lorelai wants that stability and wants that familiarity of, like, oh, Christopher, I remember how great we used to be, but like it's not, I don't think it's what's good for them. I think it's like romanticized, but it's the kind of thing where if they were together, I could see them breaking up and it being a big episode, like five episodes later. And I don't think that Lorelai has any like reason aside from that familiarity of being into Christopher. Like he's not that different from any, like from the first episode we saw him in. When he comes to town and it's like, oh, you're leaving? Oh, okay. Oh, you can't buy the book. Oh, what business are you? Like that sort of thing. He's not really that different. He's still the same guy. Mm-hmm. He just has a job now and I don't know. And she seems to – it's like familiarity and jealousy are the only reasons that she wants to be with him. I don't think
– You think it's just that?
I think so. I don't know.
I agree with the familiarity and just like the feeling of with your old friends that you have and old relationships where it's like, you know – it may not be the very best thing, but it fits like a glove, so it's right. So comfortable. So I get that. But I do see his appeal, because to me, it seemed like he was presented as a fix-em-up at the beginning. In 115, yeah. In the previous season, it was like, here's this cool guy, and we're supposed to like him, but there's some things about his life. Like, you know, the business isn't doing so well, and he rides a motorcycle, and he's immature. And now he's like in a more perfected state.
Yeah,
I think it's what he's supposed to be. So I think the appeal was always there for Lorelai, because even then they slept together in that episode,
right?
So I don't know. I think it's a combination of things. I don't think it's just I don't see the jealousy in it.
I think
though.
Jealousy is what's heightening it because she seems to be like actively trying to. I don't want to say impress, but like. Posture herself as being better than Sherry. And I don't know if she would do, like, I don't think she would even try to pretend like she's anything special.
Other than
what she's been trying to be lately. if Sherry weren't in the picture.
But. Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
But then that kind of raises the question, who's a better person, Lorelai or Sherry?
Oh, my God.
Because, guys, Lorelai's funnier and she knows more pop culture references, but is Sherry the better person?
There's a thing that happens in 215 that makes me think Sherry might be the better person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 215.
And then the Friday night dinner, of course. We don't see any of the... Are you tired?
No. If you're playing the drinking game at home or you think I'm tired, I'm not. I'm not tired. Energized.
I just realized that, yes.
I'm harnessing the power of the sun.
Energy.
Yes.
Because Demi put his head to the microphone.
You can probably hear it. It's me going.
Yeah.
Ow.
Oh, no.
This is a problem.
But I did the same thing like a minute ago, so it's fine.
Yeah, I just do that, and I stare at the patterns of the carpet.
It was interesting that they didn't show Sherry and Rory's playdate at all.
I didn't think they would, because I think that would be trying to like set us up to be like, here's how you should really feel about Sherry, when I kind of think they want us to acknowledge that she's there, and I feel like they don't want us to get an impression of Sherry. And it's not because... I feel like at this point in the series, maybe they didn't know if they wanted to keep Sherry or mm-hmm. something. But I feel like not going to follow Sherry is their way of going, it's not important.
Yeah.
You don't, this is what the real story is, which is fine. Maybe we'll get our Sherry moment later in the series. It's clearly not, who, like, they don't care right now.
Sherry Darling. I should play that song underneath the entirety of this episode.
We should, oh my God. If you're hearing Sherry Darling right now, I'm so sorry.
Because it makes sense, just because, like, she loves Bruce Springsteen, I love Bruce Springsteen, so it makes sense.
Hey, Sherry Darling! That's not Bruce.
Do you think that's how it goes?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't play it.
No, I'm not gonna play it.
I'm watching him Google it right now.
I'm not gonna play it.
You stop it! Sherry Darling!
No, not yet.
Sherry Darling.
Hey, hey, hey.
Sherry Darling.
What do you say?
Sherry Darling.
Sherry Darling.
Sherry Darling. New Jersey.
Let's just keep talking while this plays.
I met a girl in Jersey. Her name was Sherry. Sherry. Sherry,
she
darling.
Worked in the factory.
Oh, I had a rag in my pocket.
Why?
Look, I didn't write the song. That was Sherry.
That's true.
Okay.
I bet this is her favorite song. It has to be. Because she's like, oh, it's about me.
Yeah, right? I could see that happening.
Right?
Yeah.
You could see her like playing this over and over again. But, you know, so have I.
This What's your favorite Springsteen song? I know that's a hard thing, but you gotta pick one.
It's like a 25-way tie.
Oh.
Land of Hope and Dreams, Backstreets, Badlands,
There's someone
Promised Land.
Who is like just triggered to PTSD by hearing Bruce Springsteen and just like thinking of the war, and they're just like, I hate this. I hate this so much.
He has some good songs about PTSD.
Does he?
Yeah. Shut Out the Light. That's one.
Post-traumatic Sherry Darling.
Oh, shit.
Oh, bump it. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No.
No, you weren't.
I'm so sorry.
My love for you is real, but I didn't count on this package deal. Oh, I turned to Rand Newman. Brandon Newman.
I'm going down.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that song.
You walk in that. That's a great song.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Funny enough, I only know that song because Vampire Weekend did a cover of it.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a good cover.
It is.
So not because of oral sex.
Huh?
Nothing.
Horse heads?
I said oral sex.
Oh. Oh. I just got that.
Yeah. I mean,
I just got oral sex.
Eating ain't cheating. Anyway.
This is the worst episode of the podcast.
That's not true.
I know. We've had worse.
Yeah.
101.
109.
I.
We still get tweets about 109.
Really?
People are so mad about it.
Really, dude?
Some people love it.
You know, I loved it. Anna, if you're listening, I love you. Come back on the show.
No, don't.
You hope she's not.
No, I don't want her to come back.
Are you cutting this all out?
Nope.
Oh my God. You ass.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Did you like that scene where Stars Hollow turn into Ocean's 11 for a hot second?
Yes, I loved that scene.
Best Michelle moment ever.
Why he's involved. I don't know in what universe he's like, yes, I will jog by and I will,
for
drop,
an hour.
I will drop the Bell and Sebastian CD into a purse.
That's a flawless French accent.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle just came in.
But the like Kirk's nod.
I thought it was,
and
yeah,
all of that.
It was mostly...
Hey.
Come on.
What do you say?
Sherry darling. Two, three, four. We got clearance on the sex.
I'm dead now.
Aww.
Well, on
why
that
did you
note,
have to? Yeah. You just ruined it.
No.
It was your bit.
Well, listen to him in loving memory. Because he's playing that saxophone up in heaven.
This is genuinely like a nice sax solo.
Oh, yeah.
He's hitting the double notes.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
Welcome to the first episode of Bruce Boys, I guess.
This could be the show.
I'm going to keep talking about Gilmore Girls because I feel like there might be some people at this point just like, all right, when do they get back to the show?
No, this is all part of the show.
Yeah.
This is, you know what? You know what someone said, and I really appreciate it because it validates my inability to stay on topic, is... They say, you know, they go on tangents, but you know what? The Gilmore Girls go on tangents, too.
Oh, good.
So it's kind of like...
So this is a role-playing podcast now.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I will say
the Ocean's 11 scene. Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, the Ocean's 11 scene is incredible. It's a pretty... It's like if they were like, we want to write a heist film, but we don't have that much time. So there's like, someone distracts someone and someone else walks by.
Did you like Michelle cosplaying as Eminem in 8 Mile?
Yeah, what was that about? he went for a run. He was Forrest Gump in it. Why did he run for an hour? Why didn't he just wait?
Mama always said, stupid is, stupid does.
Is that Michelle? That's like
no,
Italian.
No, it's not.
Michelle.
It's not. I failed
Mama
so hard.
Mama always said,
and in the end, it doesn't even matter.
Does.
That's good. That's better. It gets better.
Why? I think it's so funny, the idea that he's just like, I'm just going to keep on jogging until I get the word, until I see them. Like, I would have just been like, oh, they're clearly not here.
I'll just take a break.
This town square is 10 square feet. Like, yep. I can see them. That's so funny, though. And I also think it's funny that Kirk got involved for some reason. I don't know why either of these people would get involved. What is in it for them?
Well,
does Michelle even know Lane?
Going off the theory that Lorelai's the queen of the town,
right?
That which makes Rory has the been princess.
Well proven.
Yeah, well proven. So that makes Rory the princess, and the princess called in favors of her peasants, essentially.
Right.
Of her loyal people.
Favors, demands,
mm-hmm.
By threat of excommunication.
Yeah. I want to talk about that scene at Emily's where they fight.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which I could say about 45 episodes
of
the show.
You just want to talk about every episode?
I want to talk about the Emily fight scene. That because they go over for the Friday night dinner. Oh, what I didn't understand, why is Christopher wearing a suit?
I didn't get that.
Like, when he came over and he was like, all right, let's go.
Maybe he thinks that's how Friday night dinners are.
Yeah, but...
I mean, the last time they went, he had to dress nice, right?
Oh,
or was
maybe
he just
wearing
a nice coat?
But I'm used to Dean just showing up in, like, a half-button shirt and puka shells
on. Yeah, but
on.
Dean is a dum-dum. No offense to Dean. He's the lesser of two evils right now.
Yes,
but
he is
still
I'll
just
get to that.
He's a huge dork.
Yeah, he's a dork. Okay, so maybe he thought that's what Richard and Emily required. Yeah. Okay, I'm on board with that.
Also, that's probably one thing that Emily and Richard love about him, that he's always, like, dressed to impress.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely true.
Yeah, but it's an image thing. And
Yeah, very much so, but they like his image.
That's true.
Because his actual being is the guy that got their daughter pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And so the scene, the turning point of the scene, I just think it's so well done. And this is a show, and Palladino has talked about in interviews and stuff, but there's not really close-ups. Like, she loves masters, she likes oneers,
yeah.
And she likes medium shots, where there's, like, more than one person in the frame. There's never, like, I think there's one in the premiere of this season, one insert shot of, like, Lorelai's ring that Max gave her. But other than that, there's, like, never close-ups.
Right.
So when things shift, it's so contingent on just you noticing and you paying attention to the performances. So in this scene with Emily, he talks about, yeah, I trade in the motorcycle. I have a Volvo now.
She goes,
you have a Volvo?
Right when she says that, you can see her face shift and completely change. And she was, like, enjoying the night, and it was good, and she was happy to see Christopher. But then for the rest of the duration of that scene, you can see her shift to, like, sadness, to anger, all from that line, you have a Volvo.
Yeah.
Because she's realizing Christopher's got his shit together, and now he's the man that I always wanted him to be.
Maybe
to marry Lorelai.
This episode was brought to you by Volvo.
Oh, maybe, because I've said it, like, 7 times at this point.
Volvo.
Volvo. Brought to you by Volvo. And Squarespace.
And Pop-Tarts.
And
you know what?
I've decided
I really want to make a supercut of all the times they mentioned Pop-Tarts in the show. Just Pop-Tarts, 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 yeah. Pop-Tarts, Pop-Tarts.
We talked about it in the last episode, actually.
Did we?
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe so.
Well, we should have a Pop-Tart count.
We should have a supercut of every time you say, I want to make a supercut of them talking about Pop-Tarts.
Me?
Yeah.
So just the 2 times?
Yeah, so far.
It's going to be a fun supercut.
It'll be something for the fans.
We'll play
it's all
during
about
the next
fans.
Episode.
Although, isn't it weird that they didn't have Pop-Tarts when they came over?
Yeah.
Because she was like, oh, I have no food. I'm a mess. Like, it's, girl, you probably have some Pop-Tarts.
You definitely
not,
have Pop-Tarts. Yeah. I feel like she goes to Dosey's and they're like, hey, Lorelai, hey, Pop-Tarts? Yeah.
The usual.
It's the
just,
usual.
It's just 7, like, Costco-sized boxes
right.
full of Pop-Tarts.
There's an aisle that's just like the Laurel aisle.
Yeah. Laurel aisle.
Aisle.
Oh, my gosh.
That was right off the dome. And it's just all Pop-Tarts. And maybe Twizzlers, I don't know.
I hope we have some other chance in the future to work Laurel Isle into a...
One day. If she marries Lyle Lovett later in the show.
Laurel Isle Lovett. Mm. So, and
that's
then...
That's what I say when... or that's what Lorelai says when she likes something. Laurel Isle Lovett.
I do declare, Laurel Isle Lovett.
I say.
Oh, is that Kevin Spacey in House of Cards?
Yeah. Kevin Spacey Leghorn.
I call that show, I'll catch up on it eventually, but after watching like 6 episodes of that show, I called it Dumb West Wing starring Foghorn Leghorn.
It is. It's gritty West Wing, and it's just like, it's kind of like war movies where it's like,
but
you get it.
But it's stupid West Wing, because West Wing at least has the feeling of authenticity, regardless of whether it's like totally factually accurate.
Right.
Like, you understand that, like, okay, CJ's a professional. Josh Lyman, like, he knows what he's talking about, blah, blah, blah. But this is like, Senator, this bill is not going to pass. Like, it just
seems... If you want to drink with the big dogs, you got to prepare a chaser. It's just stuff, it just saying...
Was that
like,
one of the lines
no,
for real?
No.
But essentially.
It could be. I'll write the next season for free.
And then the occasional Jim Halpert to the camera.
Yeah.
And little do they know, my thirst for power knows no bounds.
He basically says, like, you got a deal, Senator, and turns like, politics is such a dirty, the dirty thing. It's like, it's always, like, it's really predictable, and then when they try to get not predictable, you just kind of feel like, oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's
imagine if Luke did that on this show. People love this. This is the show.
This is what people come to Gilmore Guys for House of Cards.
Well, you know. In case they wanted our what's his name on the show? Let's get back to talking about it. What's his name?
Who?
Kevin Spacey. What's his name?
Oh, Frank Underwood.
Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
In case they want Frank Underwood impressions.
They call me Underwood, but really what they should call me is Underhand.
Mm.
Anyway, back to welcome to my ass.
That's what we should say anytime we're coming off a tangent that we know people are not going
to
like.
Anywho, welcome
to
my ass.
Which is the at poop doctor.
At poop doctor.
Classic bio is welcome. It's welcome to my ass. So anytime from now on, we come out of a tangent and it's like, oh, we probably shouldn't have done that. We should say, anyway, welcome to my ass.
Right.
And then get back into discussing.
The best part about the phrase welcome to my ass is I imagine someone standing atop of like a pillar, like just going, welcome to my ass.
This is Sparta. Well, let's skip ahead. We're not skipping ahead. I did not cry during the Emily fight scene.
Good.
But I teared up.
Oh, come on. Why?
I did. It was just like, because Lorelai's voice started shaking in that scene.
Lorelai, are you blind or just that humiliated?
Humiliated?
Christopher gets his life together with that woman.
So, that's good.
It should have been you.
What?
Don't play dumb, Lorelai. You know it too. And deep down, I know you're heartbroken.
I'm not heartbroken.
Well, I am. I always had the picture in my mind of the three of you together. After all these years and all the bad things that happened, Rory with both her parents, and now that Christopher's got his life together, it's with her and not you.
Mom, the timing was never right for us.
That's because you dawdle time away. You could have had that effect on him. You could have been the person to help him get his life together, but you made no effort.
Oh, so now this comes down to something I didn't do? Don't put that on me, Mother!
What other explanation is there? He's always been crazy about you, but you've always kept him at arm's length. You keep everyone at arm's length.
That's not true.
It is true. Your destiny was to be with Christopher, and now it's too late.
Then it wasn't our destiny!
So you're saying you don't have feelings for him, Lorelai? That all of this is just fine with you?
That's not important.
It's not?
No. What's important is that Christopher is doing well and he's happy and we should be happy for him.
You're impossible. I need to lie down. Tell Christopher. Tell him whatever you like. I don't care.
Because she
it
was
did.
Like,
when
there
Lorelai
was a conviction there.
From
yeah.
sadness mm-hmm. In this episode and in the episode where she's like, you shouldn't have gone to my mom. Mm-hmm. It sort of feels real because all,
right.
like, even in some serious situations, she's just kind of like happy-go-lucky and like jokey. But, I was not on Emily's side here when she was saying it should have been you.
I was on Emily's side. I agree.
I don't know. Lately, Emily's done a few things where I'm just kind of like, I realized that she's overreacting from mm-hmm. a point of love, but it's just like, it kind of hurts to see her do those things because it's just like, I like you, but I like you so much more when you are not, when your arguments are based in a little bit of sanity. When I can kind of get on board with what you're saying. Like when she said this and when she was like, if your daughter's not following what you're saying, then you lock her up and throw away the key. That was,
yeah.
I was like, these are both things I'm not on board with.
I agree. Well, that was a straw man argument. I think this is just a big emotional overreaction.
Right.
Neither of which are correct. So right. I agree. I mean, I'm team Emily till I die, but I agree with you. She did not have a good point in this scene. And it is such a twisting of the knife. It should have been you. Like, and that's the title of the episode.
Yeah.
It should have been Lorelai.
Emily has a lot of twisting of the knife moments, and it sucks to me that she can't get over the pregnancy thing, seeing how great Rory has become and how, mm-hmm. like, they're doing fine. They're not struggling in the slightest bit, aside from her going to a school, but, like, that's not a problem for them. I don't know. It sort of frustrates me to see Emily fixate on the past. As if, like, it mm-hmm. ruined anything for her besides her social standing for a very small amount of time. I don't know.
And I think it's more than social standing, though. I think there is a hurt there, though, too. I just, like, your daughter rejecting, like, oh, stay with us. And then she runs away to the shack that Rune now lives in, apparently, behind Rune. Independence Inn. I don't think he comes back. I think we're in the clear.
Oh, for real?
I think we're out of the woods yet. We're in the clear.
Good.
The last scene at Luke's, Sherry comes in to find Rory. And she's like, okay, I'll go find Rory in the town square. This is after the Ocean's 11 scene.
Right.
And this is when Chris and Lorelai have to talk after Rory and Lorelai say, like, you know, when they were talking about, you know, did you imagine me getting back with your father? She's like, yeah, well, you know, it's stupid. Well, I really like that conversation. I thought that was really good. It was just really well played. But in this conversation, actually, I'm going to read this Twitter question. Devon Beavers at Devon Devers? Sure. She writes in, regarding Lorelai's confession, do you think Chris is right to be angry or is trying to hide his own similar feelings? Because what happens in the scene is Lorelai says, you know, I think I was waiting for you. That's why I sabotaged all these relationships unknowingly and unconsciously. I was hoping one day we would get back together. And then Christopher's reaction is, how dare you put that on me? And he gets very angry. So is Christopher in the right here? Is Lorelai in the right for expressing that and being honest and transparent like that?
So I think he's got something there by saying that Christopher might have been sort of masking similar feelings, but I don't think they're that. I think they're feelings that he kind of got over a while ago, which is why he's also so upset to have her say this all now. And it's like I might have felt that way at one point, but for you to say this now that you know that I have Sherry is so weird. But what I thought about that scene was Lorelai expressing that was weird. It felt like she was getting something off her chest, not trying to guilt trip Chris. It seemed like just a confession, not a guilt trip like he thought it was. But I also see from his point of view, I understand why it pissed him off. Because if someone comes up to you and goes like, yeah, I've ruined a lot of relationships because of you, not that it's your fault or anything, you kind of feel like, oh, I'm sorry. What do I do now?
Have you experienced that?
No.
On either side?
I'm just saying, like, in a hypothetical situation where this happens, I feel like you would kind of go, I don't know what to take from that. I'm sorry?
Like, yeah.
Right.
It's a tough position. Like, if you're Chris hearing that, you'd like, thanks.
It's a tough, that's the thing about it. It's a tough, like, I don't even know what you'd say to that. So for Christopher to go, why this is off, like, why would you tell me this, is like, I get it.
Well, it is selfish of Lorelai in that it's something only for her own benefit.
Yeah.
Christopher has nothing to gain by her saying, you know, I think I was in love with you, and that's why I broke off my engagement to this good guy, but now I'm over you. Like, what is there to gain?
I don't know.
For I understand what it is to her. It's like, oh, this is like this is like part of my fulfillment and like embracing my identity. Although to me, that seems like something you could like. We all experience this as adults, where it's like you understand a truth or a deeper truth about a situation, emotionally or relationally, and maybe it would feel good to confess it to that person, but it wouldn't be more good for you than it would be hurtful to them, which I think is what it is for Christopher in this situation.
Yeah.
I think the mature thing for Lorelai to have done is maybe talk it over with Rory, like she did, and then just like sit on it. Just be an adult.
I think it's good for her to come to terms with that sort of idea that that's what was happening, but for her to tell Chris, yeah, it's just her going like, just so you know, I'm good now.
Yeah, which is exactly the conversation.
Just
what? FYI, I'm being perfected now.
FYI, I'm better. I don't need you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I was more on Christopher's side of it. Cause I think anytime anyone says how dare you in a conversation, it's a bit much.
Strong. It's almost Shakespearean.
It is very Shakespearean. Like, what have you ever said how dare you in earnest, not in a joking way?
No, probably.
How dare you?
How dare you? I couldn't say it not jokingly. I just, in my head, I picture the scene in Hot Rod where he goes like, where do you get off? When, they're doing the...
Yeah.
I think about Hot Rod a lot. It's my favorite movie.
I've not seen it. Maybe Gilmore Guys Movie Club, pick of the week.
Kevin.
Where no
Gilmore... You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I like everyone involved.
Don't watch it unless I'm there.
Okay. No, I'll
it's
make genuinely that
it's 100% yeah. my favorite movie.
That's great.
So yeah,
that's like your Walk Hard.
Is Walk Hard your favorite movie?
No.
Wait, what? Why did you mention that?
But it's just like a comedy that's probably very underrated that you have a deep, deep love for.
I have a deep love for it. It's my favorite movie. I would never call it the best movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
And I wouldn't call Walk Hard the best movie.
Yeah.
But that is a very underrated
movie. By the way,
movie.
Okay, I'm just making sure you're not talking about Walk the Line.
No.
Okay.
Walk Hard's the Dewey Cox
right,
story.
Yes.
With John C. Reilly, Kristen
Wiig. In
my
head, when you said Walk the Line, I was like, oh, that makes sense, I guess.
Walk Hard.
Yeah. But yeah. Walk Hard. Yeah. Yes. Anyway,
Christopher was right. Let's rate the episode.
Wait, before we talk about that, we have to talk about how I realized who my favorite character is in this episode. It's Paris.
Yeah?
It's Paris.
Why? I don't want to disagree, all of the but debate, why?
She's just fun. She's the funnest. She's crazy. When she gets emotional, I sort of feel bad for her. Like, she's a dork, but she's so confident.
But she's
like,
not adorkable.
She's not adorable. She is a dork, and she's crazy smart, and she's so confident that it's, like, so fun to watch her. And Paris-centric episodes and subplots, I think, are my favorite thing to watch. And she had the best line of this episode.
Which is, did you make a soundboard?
No, I didn't. I should have. Oh, my God. Because I don't think I can deliver it the
I'll
way
I'll edit
she.
It in.
Okay. So when she walks into their house, Lorelai goes,
"Hey, Paris, were we expecting you?
You should have been."
And I swear to God, my reaction, I watched this in my car this morning while I was doing laundry. My reaction was, "Oh!" It was like, it sounded like she was like, "You should." You know the scene in Django and Chain where he's like, "Expect me, because I'm coming. Expect me like you expect Jesus to come back." That's how I felt when she said that.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it was so weird. It's like, "Were we expecting you? You should have been." Like, I wanted her to just pull out a gun and just go crazy
boom,
on the
boom,
house.
Boom,
yeah.
Boom.
And also, just all of the debate stuff was fun. Like, I did debate in high school, but it wasn't that sort of, like, cinematic experience of two people at a podium talking to a crowd.
Do you remember any of the topics you debated about?
It was, like, all the stuff that's still in contention now, like marijuana legalization. I remember doing debates about Afghani poppy cultivation and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just a lot of I'm sure there were assisted suicide topics, but I strongly remember writing shit about marijuana legalization just because it was like everyone was like, oh, okay, if I go con, that's gonna be a hard sell. If I go pro, it's gonna be an easy sell. I just kind of was posturing for. I've said posturing so many times this episode.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't know why. I feel like I've got a word of the day calendar. I don't. Yeah, Paris in this episode is great. And then when she goes, that's enough cruelty for you today, Paris. You won.
Yeah, that lady just like, calm down. We're good.
Yeah. And also, Paris, I thought it was so funny that she chastised Rory for talking too slowly because of how their whole things, they talk so fast.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that.
The words per minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Willie Nelson Rhody. We play them Pop Goes the Culture. I forget the exact line, but it's really good.
I love how when she starts to when Rory starts giving her debate, like preparatory, like introduction speech, she just starts snapping. Like to Paris, this is still like a rehearsal. She doesn't even care that there are people and she could be perceived as being rude. She's just like, Rory, pick it up.
Yeah, she's right there next to the podium. I thoroughly enjoyed this episode.
I did too. I thought it was a good one.
No Jess, no Dean.
No Jess, no Dean.
Emily and Richard. Less boyfriends, more adult people. Those conflicts just age better. We've said it before. We'll say it again. I mean, at least for me. I'll say it again because I saw these years ago. But those conflicts just age better. They're more interesting. The Sherry stuff I find to be fascinating because it is not an ambiguous characterization, but a nuanced one. That's not just one thing.
Right.
And I think that's just that's really cool to see when a TV show and an actress, Machen Ahmed, can pull that off. Oh, by the way, if you guys want Machen to come on the show, please tweet at her. I think she's at Machen Ahmed on Twitter. She's pretty active.
Is she going to be back in the episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Cool.
I mean, yeah, she'll be in more episodes.
Right.
So we could do like a Gilmore Gab with her, which I think is what we're going to call our interview series.
Gilmore Gab?
Gilmore Gabs.
That makes sense.
Right?
Gabmore Girl Gab.
Yeah, actually, we're going to do that one. Gabmore Gilbs Gab.
Gabmore Gab. Gab, Gab, Gab.
Oh, and you know what's funny, too, about Lorelai's line? Like, she's a witch. Well, she just played a witch in The Witches of East End on Lifetime.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So this entire I feel like a lot of this episode is written like IMDb. Oh, let's see what references we can make. Even though it's like she's played it like now, just now, and
just the last 2 years.
Oh,
so it got canceled, unfortunately. Yeah.
Oh, rip. But to them, they didn't know. But
yeah.
I feel like watching it now, it's like, ooh, crazy.
But it is a reference snake eating itself, because they're referencing Bewitched.
It's the reference Ouroboros.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give it 8. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Volvos.
Volvos? I'm also going to give it 8 out of 10 fuzzy arm sleeve bands.
The pinky ones?
Yeah.
Cool. I'm into it. I'm so into it.
I'm about
rating.
It.
You're rating, not her actual... Sleevies.
Yeah, no, those get like a 4 out of 10, maybe.
Sleevey Van Zandt. Well, guys, thank you so much
for
joining in.
Sleevey Ray Vaughan.
In this guestless episode of Gilmore Guys, in which we feel a lot more freedom to go off topic.
We had a few guests. We had Bruce.
Yeah, well, I'm not technically a guest.
Yeah, not yet. Next episode.
But I'll be popping in next week.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I love America.
Okay, Bruce.
Factories.
Factories and wrecking balls. My dad grew up in the shipping yard.
I feel like you're just mocking me now, son.
Yep.
That's hurtful.
Oh, does that mean you're not going to show up next week?
Yep. Just kidding.
Okay, we'll see you next week. I know, you love to laugh, Bruce. Right.
2, 3, 4!
Should we end this episode the way we end every episode?
Yes. After plugs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
At Kevin T. Porter on Twitter and Instagram. I love Instagram. I like Twitter. I love Twitter for certain things, but I feel more satisfaction.
I was thinking
from
a lot about Twitter the other day about like when we had the talk about why Vine, when we why
that
we feel
very thoughtful discussion with fan favorite Patrick Walsh.
Fan favorite, really? Yeah. People loved that.
People
good.
Loved him. Oh yeah.
Oh, I loved that episode. It was really fun.
Yeah, that was one of our most successful non-Gilly guests, I think.
That's awesome.
Because he had a great spirit, and he shared things about his dad and never pulling pranks.
Yeah. Which was so funny. I was thinking about Twitter, and I realized that one of the things I love about Twitter is, like, the jokes are there, and, like, it's a great place for entertainment, but, like, there's so much more, and I feel like, as a person, it make like, there's so much, like, people who write jokes will turn around and then write serious stuff, and I always love to read that stuff, too.
Totally.
And they're so smart, and it comes across more clearly than it does with Vine, when it's like, on the road. Honestly, I was about to do it.
I know.
You did that last time. Anyway, I'm at Electro Lemon on pretty much everything.
Are you talking about, I read one by Johnny Sun? What's his name?
Johnny Sun. Yeah, he's on Twitter.
He does some like kind of just earnest ones aren't jokes that are very touching.
It's that's not exactly what I'm talking about, but I know what you mean, and it's I love that.
Yeah. Well, which are you?
No, I'm just saying like people will be super funny, and then they'll turn around and be like, "Oh, here's an article I wrote, and it's just about like I don't know, like race relations and or something like that, or about how like Islamophobia has sort of overtaken." The idea of free speech and like with the Je suis Charlie stuff that's happening. It's just really interesting to read smart things that people write from these people, like things that people write that are so smart, and then they turn around and they just like are also hilarious. Like it's, I don't know. It's very cool to see those sort of personalities. And they exist on Vine, but it's just kind of like on Vine, it's more like...
Vine's more limiting in terms of tone.
Exactly.
Because loops only lend themselves to... For the most part, only lend themselves to like comedy things. Whereas,
exactly.
Whereas written like word. Art. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, enough about social media. Thank you guys so much.
Oh, yeah. Plug your shit.
I did. I'm at Electro Lemon on everything.
You did?
Yeah. I'm at Electro Lemon on everything. This is the third time now. I'm at Electro Lemon on everything.
Follow us at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. We always talk to the fans because it's all about the fans,
man. It's all about the fans.
Email us, gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com. We've been getting an overwhelming response on the email. We read all of them, and we respond to all of them eventually. Because people are listening to this, they're like, he didn't respond to mine. But we do. Eventually, we do.
Okay.
And then facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. We're also on SoundCloud if you hate iTunes. So soundcloud.com/Gilmore-Guys. That's it, I think.
That's all.
And that segment's called Where You Tweet, I Will Follow.
Anywhere.
Should we call that Where You Tweet, I Will Follow?
Do we have to have a segment for us saying the same things every time? Here's a little segment Maybe. We call Where You Tweet Out Follow.
Well, because then the guests have plugs, and it's like, oh, where should we follow you? And blah, blah, blah.
But, well, I mean, that's just plugs.
I don't want to talk about the same word, Demi. Out
on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name, and I'll be there on the next train. Choo-choo!
Lead
factory.
I will follow.
Shipping yard.
Anywhere.
Construction zone.
And you tell
Hard
me
to,
if you need,
if you, you
need me to be with you, I will follow.
Steve. Oh, oh, oh.
2, 3, 4, yeah.
Me.
I will follow anywhere that you tell
Max
me
Weimer
to.
Max Weimer on the drums.
Jewish.
What?
Are you
Why?
Well, because he's Jewish.
I know he is, but like, what a weird thing to mention.
Goodbye.
Glasses.
I like that song.